All right, Shabbos, say good morning. Today's daf is Lamed 30. We are picking up on Chav Tesman Beis 29b at the Mishnah. Hachoshed Lios Mocher Chumar. Shirim this month are dedicated in this Chosav Arafua Shalema for Tzvi Meir Halevi Ben Sara Leah. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, he together with Kol Chol Yisrael have a complete and enduring refuah. And I will say with that, we are deciding to begin the Mishnah. And Eretz Hashem, we are making a decision. Chav Tesman Beis, the bottom Mishnah. Hachoshed Lios Mocher Truma L'Shem Chulin. So let's listen to this. If someone is chashed, someone is suspect of going ahead and selling Truma, and going ahead and passing it off as Chulin, a mochin mimenu afilu mayim u'melach. You can't purchase from him even salt and water. Now we'll say, what is that saying? So remember again, Truma only applies to produce. Right? Truma only applies to produce. What the Mishnah is saying over here, what Rabbi Huda is saying over here is that if someone is suspect regarding Truma produce, we don't buy anything. Even things which are not, you know, clearly not Truma. Right? There's no Truma problems with water, no Truma problems with salt. But even so, if such a person like that is chashud, halacha lemaaseh, again, you can't purchase anything from him. Rabbi Shimon says, v'chol sheyesh bozekas truma umaisus ein lochem mimenu. So also Rabbi Shimon seems to be arguing on Rabbi Yehuda, and he says, no, you can't buy anything that has what we call a zekas truma, a truma connection. See, anything that has, like if you look, Rashi says, kol davar shenos mimenu truma. So we'll see exactly what this means in just a moment, but anything that has a connection to truma, you cannot buy from him. So fundamental machlokas in the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, la suye mai, when Rabbi Shimon says, any item that has zekas truma, right, that has some type of connection to truma, so what is that referring to? This is actually very interesting. Kirvei damim, dogim, excuse me, dema'arvi behu shemen zayis. It refers to like fish innards, fish kishkas, which people would often go ahead and mix in olive oil. So we'll say, so obviously the fish kishkas are not shayach to truma, but what is? The oil. So in other words, what Rabbi Eliezer is coming along to add, what Rabbi Shimon is coming along to add is that not only can you not buy obviously produce from him, but anything that has a potential truma ingredient, right, or an ingredient that is shayach to the truma category, you cannot purchase from him as well. So fundamental machlokes. You have on one hand Rabbi Huda saying you can't buy anything. Rabbi Shimon saying you can't buy things for which there may be a truma shaychus. So the Gemara says as follows: Hu tapcha da v'chashel lezabuni tap of lamid tarba da atma b'mar dekansa. So let's listen to this. So there was a guy, a butcher, who was chashud, he was suspect of selling tarba da atma means rashes chelav aklal shal yarech. So fat, chelav, but forbidden fat, right? The forbidden fat that's from the kidneys by the thigh. So ultimately, again, he was suspected of selling that type of fat and passing it off as permitted chelav. Okay, so he was going and selling. He was chashud. He was chashud. He ultimately, again, was suspect to go ahead and sell prohibited fat and pass it off as permitted fat. So what happened? Kansei Rava lezabune afilu amaguzi. So Rava went ahead and penalized him and said you can't even buy nuts from him. Or as I say, you can't buy anything. You can't even buy nuts from him. Amar Rav Papa Rava, kiman. So we'll say, whose opinion did that reflect? Rabbi Huda. So we'll say, that sounds like Rabbi Huda. Because what did Rabbi Huda say in the Mishnah? Right? That ultimately, like, even melech u'mayim, you can't buy anything. So the Gemara says, well, ikra Rabbi Huda, afilu mayim u'melech nami. So I don't understand. So why are you only talking about nuts? Right? Just say that Rabbi said you can't even buy water and salt. And we'll say, what do water and salt represent? You know, the most basic items. So obviously, if you can't buy water and salt, you can't buy anything else either. So why are you dafka saying you can't buy nuts? To which the Gemara says, you're right, the Olam Rabbi Shimon. In fact, Rava was conducting himself like Rabbi Shimon. So listen to this. And I will say, it's with the Isra itself that we penalized him. So what do the nuts have to do with selling forbidden chelev and passing it off as mutter? Watch this. Stam dardiki garu ba'amaguzi. Now, everyone knows that most kids could be easily bribed for nuts. Chadesh Yameinu Ki Kedem, right? How much easier life would be, right? So, okay, everyone knows, right? You stam daradiki garu bamaguzi. You can easily get kids to do what you want, you just problem stem some nuts. So what happens? Va'azul mishabish l'gnei tabachi, v'gari l'hu bamaguzi, umayis l'itarba de'atma, umaz bin lei b'mar dekansa. So we'll say, what would this unscrupulous butcher do? He would tell the kids, kindalach, I have some nuts for you, here's the deal. Go and get that. He would seek out the children of the butchers, right? The butchers' children, the other butchers. He said, "Kindlach, go ahead. You know, when your father puts aside that chiliv in the butcher shop, just bring it to me. Just bring it to me, and I'll go ahead and I'll give you the nuts." So ultimately, again, this is how he ran his little chiliv ring over here, right? So therefore, again, so that's why Rava knast him with the nuts. So meaning, interestingly enough, Rav is paskening not like Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, who says that when you're chashed on something, everything is usher. He paskening is like Rabbi Shimon, right? And Rabbi Shimon says, when you're chashed, when you're suspect to be unscrupulous in a particular, in this case, food area, so obviously people can't buy that type of food or any other associated foods. In this case, it's a little bit different. So Rava said, you can't buy fats from this guy, you can't buy meats from this guy, and also you can't buy nuts from him. Why? Because the nuts were used in his chiliv ring. Okay, good, says the Mishnah. Now, I will say, just so you should know, the reason why these sugyas are exceptionally important, and we're going to get into this more, is because any time that someone is chashuv on something, the fundamental shaila always is, what are the ramifications beyond that? Do we say that once you're chashed in one area, you're chashed in everything? Or do we say, no, you know, you're, if you're chashed in one area, you're chashed in that thing, but not... So that's the tension over here. So for example, in this Mishnah, we know that the guy is chashed. Chashed means he's suspect to sell truma and pass it off as chulin. Now, here they said, you're chashed on that? Nothing. We cut you off. We can't have anything to do. We can't buy anything from you. Even Rabbi Melech. Rabbi Shimon says, no. His weakness happens to be passing off truma as chulin. So I know I have to be careful with anything truma associated. But that does not cast dispersions on the rest of the things that he sells. So we're going to see this tension over and over. Ha-chashra la-shvi'is. Listen to this. Someone is chashed to go ahead and violate Shemitah. So we'll say in this case over here, he's chashed to, let's say, do commerce with Shemitah produce or things like that. So even if he's chashed on Shviyas, eino chashed ala maisras. He is not chashed ultimately again on maisras. In other words, we assume that he tithes properly. Ha chashed ala maisras, someone who is suspect regarding maiser, eino chashed ala Shviyas, is not suspect regarding Shemitah. Ha-choshed al-zeh v'al-zeh, but if someone is suspect to violate both Shemitah and Maisrus, choshed al-hataros. So we'll say, we're going to get into this a little bit more. Taros ultimately, again, refers to someone who has the status of a chaver. A chaver is someone who eats chulin betara. He is careful even to eat unconsecrated food items in a state of ritual purity. So if someone is choshed ultimately, again, on Maisrus, and Shemitah, so we do not assume that his chulin are preserved in a state of tara. And there are sometimes where a person is chashed on taras, which means Rabbi say he's chashed that his chulin is not in a state of tara, but that doesn't automatically make him chashed on maestros or on Shemitah. Zeklal, here is the rule. Ha-chashed al-davar lo dono. Below me, Ido. Supposed to listen to this. If someone is, here's the clown. If someone is chashed about a particular area, he cannot, or I should say, if someone is suspect for being lax in a particular area of mitzvah observance, he cannot adjudicate a case regarding that particular mitzvah or obligation, nor can he serve as a witness in a case which ultimately deals with that particular issue, which makes sense. Meaning once I am chashed in my observance of a particular area, essentially, again, my credibility in that area has been eroded, and therefore, again, I cannot judge, nor can I testify in that particular mitzvah. Says the Gemara, we'll say, let's analyze this. My taima. So we'll say, remember again, the Mishnah began by saying that if you're chashed on Shavuos, you're not chashed on Meiser. And if you're chashed on Meiser, you're not chashed on Shavuos. So my taima, Shvi'is lo bayachoma. So we'll say, why is it that if I'm chashid on Shvi'is, chashid on Shemitah, I'm not chashid on Meiser? For one simple reason. Shemitah produce can be consumed and doesn't require consumption within the walls of Yerushalayim. Meiser, certain types of Meiser, kevan de bayachoma chamirle. So we'll say, what the Gemara is saying is like this. You know, all of us have our things that we will do, but then certain things that, no, I would never do that. Right, I'll do that, right? But that I won't do. So the Gemara says over here, somebody might be chashed to go ahead and consume Shemitah produce, or I should say, illegally use Shemitah produce, but he would never illegally use Truma, or excuse me, Meiser. Why not? Because since Meiser has to be consumed within the walls of Yerushalayim, that conveys a certain level of severity. Because of that severity, I'm not going to play around with Meiser. Therefore, even if he's chashed on Shvius, he's not chashed on Meiser. Ha chashed ala Meisers. Similarly, again, if somebody is chashed on Meiser, right, he's suspect for misusing Meiser. Ultimately, again, that does not automatically make him suspect for Shemitah. My time, what's the reason? Meiser is le pidyon. So on one hand, Meiser can be redeemed. Shvius, kevan de misera le, v'les le pidyon chamira le. Shemitah produce, on the other hand, cannot be redeemed. So because it can't be redeemed, therefore what? I look at it as more chamer, and because I look at it as more chamer, I will not come to use it illegally. Okay, ha-chashud al-zeh v'al-zeh. So let's remember again, the Mishnah said, but if you are chashud on both Shemitah and Meiser, halacha la-meiser, you are chashud al-taras, right? We don't assume that you keep your chulin b'tara. Very simply, kevan de-chashud al-daraisa, kol shekin ad-rabbanon. Because we'll say again, if you're chashud on daraisas, right, like Shemitah, like Meiser, you're certainly going to be chashed on keeping your chulin betara. Keeping your chulin betara is a rabbinic concept, not biblical. So if you're chashed on biblical law, you certainly will be chashed on rabbinic law. The issue chashed al ataras. So let's listen to this. So the Mishnah then said that there are some times where a person is chashed on taros, which means I'm chashed that I'm not preserving my chulin betara, but that doesn't automatically make me chashed on meiser and shvius. My time, nihia dirabanan chashid adaraisa lo chashid. Because it will say, even if I'm chashid ultimately again on a dirabanan, which is tarus, that doesn't automatically make me chashid ultimately on the daraisa. Fine. Or minhi, ne'eman ala tarus, ne'eman ala shvius. So we'll say, the Braisi says as follows, if somebody is ne'eman, if somebody has a credibility regarding tarus, right, chulun betara, then he has credibility for treating Shemitah produce with the proper sanctity as well. So what do we infer from that? Ha chashid chashid. So what I could infer from that is that what? If I'm chashid al taras, then what? If I'm suspect for not maintaining my chulin betara, then what? I should be chashid ultimately again for shvius as well. So Rabbi Eloi says that the case of the Mishnah Rabbo says where I see, if you look at Rashi, masnisin diktani ein chashud, the Mishnah which said that if I am lenient with taros, that doesn't automatically make me chashud when it comes to shvius. That's a case where what diktani ein chashud kigam rini Rashi shera'inu shenoeg din meisrus ushvius betzina. We see that this person in his own home is careful with meiser, is careful with shmita produce. Deleka lemeimar lifnim hu osa. So we'll say when we see that a person observes the proper halachas in his own home, even if we see him lax in other areas, that does not erode his credibility in other areas. So remember, if we see him being lax in the realm of taros, but ultimately and we see him being careful in his own home with meiser and with shvius, his credibility for meiser and shvius is intact. Rabbi Yana, Rabbi Yishmael Amar, listen to this. So Rabbi Yair Rabbi Shmuel said as follows. What's the case? The case ultimately again is where a guy, we'll call him Ruvain, was chashed on both Shemitah and Taras. That was right, he was chashed for violation of both. And he came before the Rabbanan, he wanted to do tshuva, the kibalat tarvayu, and he accepted upon himself to be more vigilant in both of these items. Vahadr ichshid echad minayhu. And ultimately again, what happened? He relapsed. He once again became chashid, let's say, in Maisras. So what's the halacha? Daminon, migo de chashid aha, chashid nami aidach. And we said, just like he became, that's actually very interesting, we assume that just as he relapsed in one area, therefore what? He relapsed in the other area as well. Amra barbachana amra biyochanan. Zudir Rabbi Akiva stimsoi. We'll say ultimately again, these are the words of Rabbi Akiva. Now, which are the words of Rabbi Akiva? The words of the Mishnah, who says that someone who is chashud on shvius is not chashud on maaser. Right? So again, the fact that I'm chashud in one area doesn't automatically make me chashud in all areas. So these are the words of Rabbi Akiva. Avachem, the Chachamim say, chashud ala shvius, chashud ala maaser. The Chum say, no, if you are chashid on Shemitah, you are chashid on Meiser also. So in other words, what the Chum essentially are saying is, once you're chashid not to keep agricultural law, then what? You're chashid in all areas. Chashid in all areas. Man Chachamim. We'll say, who is the opinion of the Chachamim? Rabbi Yehuda. It's Rabbi Yehuda. How do we know this? De ba'asrei Rabbi Yehuda, shviyas chamir lehu. Because in the city of Rabbi Yehuda, we know that they treated Shemitah very severely, right? They treated Shemitah with incredible severity. Da'uhuda, listen to this. How do we know that they treated Shemitah with incredible severity? Listen to this. Well, maybe stringency is the better word than severity. Da'hu da'vekarli lechavrei daira bar dairasa. So say two guys got into a fight. And what happens? The first guy calls the second guy, you convert the son of a convert. Okay, Amr Le, so listen to this, we'll say it gets better. So the insulted party says, okay, Tisi Li, Delo Achli Peros Shvius Kavaseich. I might be the convert, the son of a convert, which is an interesting, right, convert, the son of a convert. But at the end of the day, at least I don't eat Shemitah produce, or at least I don't misuse Shemitah produce like you. So we'll say the fact that this was the comeback shtach, right, tells you that again, misuse ultimately of Shemitah produce in the locale of Rabbi Yehuda was considered to be a very severe thing. Ika de Amri, Amra Bar Bachana, Amra Biyochanan, Zudir Rabbi Akiva Stimsoi. What's another version of this? The Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Akiva Stimsoi, who holds that just because you are chashid, ultimately again on Shemitah, doesn't make you chashid on Meiser. Avachachamim Omrim, chashid ala Meiser, chashid ala Shviyas. The Chum say that if you are chashid on Meiser, you are in fact chashid on Shviyas. First, why line of say Lam Davon Aleph, Uman Chachamim, who are the Chachamim? Rabbi Meir. But say this, here is where it gets incredibly complex. Because what does Rabbi Meir say? The Amr, chashid ledaber echad, have a chashid lechol haTorah kula. Wow. So Rabbi Meir is of the opinion, once you are chashid in one area, you're chashid in everything. Rabbi say, you understand over here, the fundamental nature of this machlokes, right? What's the fundamental nature of this machlokes? So Rabbi Meir is saying that once you demonstrate that you don't have credibility in one area, how can we assume that you have credibility in any area? Remember, again, I will say, this is about credibility. It's not saying you're a Rasha. It's just saying once it's clear that you lack credibility in one area, why should we distinguish between this area and the next area? To which Rabbi Akiva Nachum will say, it's not true. We all live with inconsistencies, right? We all have shortcomings. But just because I'm inconsistent or not doing the appropriate thing here, I'm not an all-or-nothing person. All of us have our shortcomings. All of us have our inconsistencies. But just because I'm clearly imperfect here does not mean that my imperfections here spread. But see, here's like this a fun... You have to understand. You thought we're learning Bechoros. You know what this is? Do you know what this is? This is Hilchos Tshuva. Right? This is Mamish Hilchos Tshuva. This is like everyday life. This gets to the very core of our essence. Who are we? What are we? I know that I have faults. So now tell me, I have a fault. I'm weak in an area. Does that mean I'm a weak person? Does that mean I'm a weak person in my totality? I'm a weak person? Or it just means that at the end of the day, no, I'm a strong person who happens to be weak in one particular area. That's the fundamental machlokes. Here it's being translated in halachic terms, but the hashkafic terms ultimately are overwhelming. The Gemara says as follows. So, Rabbi Yona, Rabbi Yirmiyah, Tamidi, Rabbi Zira, Varmi, Rabbi Yona, Rabbi Zira, Tamidi, Rabbi Yochanan, Chad Amar, Abal Chachomim Omrim, Chashid Ala Shviyas, Amadei Zavosei, Chashid ala shviyas, Chashid ala meiser. Shabbos say one opinion said that if you're chashed on shvius, ultimately again you are chashed on meiser, right? If you are lax in shmita area, therefore again you are chashed on meiser. Uman chachamim, who are the chachamim? Rabbi Yehuda. V'chad amar hachashed al meiser chashed al shvius. The other opinion said no, if you're chashed on meiser, you're chashed on shvius. And who is that? Uman chachamim, Rabbi Meir. Tisanya. This is very interesting. So we're going to get now into an interesting sugya that's going to kind of boomerang back on the Mishnah. So Amar Shekibal Chaver. So let's listen to this. You have an Amaretz who decides to become a Chaver. And we'll say, what's a Chaver? So a Chaver is someone who decides to accept upon himself a higher or a stricter standard of halacha. Right? Now, where that's most, for our purposes today, where that's considered to be most manifest is he commits to eating chulin betara, right? He commits to going ahead and maintaining almost a Kohanic-like standard with regard to his regular everyday food. What's the ramification of being a chaver? A chaver is endowed with a certain level of ne'emonos, is endowed with a certain level of credibility. He's considered to be a ne'emon in many areas of halacha. So an amaret shows up and he says, you know what? I hereby take upon myself to be a chaver. V'nechshad l'davar echad. And then it turns out that we're choshed him, right? He's suspect for not being appropriate in one area. What's talocha? Nechshad l'chala Torah kol divrei Meir. Meir says, once you're nechshad for one thing, you're choshed for everything. The chacham say, no, eino nechshad ela la'osa davar bilba. The chacham say, absolutely not. Just because you are choshed in one area does not make you choshed in every area. Rather, again, the chashad only applies to the one particular area in which you are clearly lax. Well, say, listen to this along the same lines. This is incredible. Hager shekibel alav divrei Torah. If a ger, a convert, accepted upon himself the entire Torah, afilu nechshad ledavar echad, havechashad lechala Torah kula, vaharihu ki yisrael mumer. Now, this is incredibly important. If a ger accepted upon himself the entire Torah, but then it turns out that what? He's chashed in his observance of one area. So we'll say, what's talocha? So this is all Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir assumes that alocha l'maisa, once you're chashed in one area, then what? You're chashed in everything. But lest you think that this undermines his geirus, it doesn't. He's a Jew, he just happens to be a mummer. Right? He happens to be like a shtekel apikores, right? So I will say, but a Jewish apikores, right? So this is very important. And this, by the way, unfortunately, this occurs all of the time, not all the time. It occurs often, where for whatever reason, someone converts, and then ultimately, again, I shouldn't even say it occurs often, I shouldn't say that. It occurs. Rav Moshe Feinstein has made chuvas about this, where someone converted, and then it turns out they're not observing certain areas of halacha. So, like, what does that do to the geirus? It's a fundamental machlokes. So in other words, there are many who posit that if someone's not observing, that must mean that their Kabbalah HaMitzvos was flawed. Right? It wasn't the true Kabbalah HaMitzvos. And therefore, maybe the geirus itself was not good. Rav Moshe Paskin, that's not the case. We assume the Kabbalah HaMitzvos was good. The geir accepted mitzvos. What happened? Same thing that happens to many of us. You know, sometimes we're just lax and we're just not good in certain areas. But that does not undermine the geirus. It just gives the person a status of a Yisrael Mumer. Nafkamina, but what's the chilek between, what does it mean if he's a Yisrael Mumer? It means he's a Jew. Di kadish kidusha kidushin. He's a Jew to the point that what? That if he's Mekadesh a woman, she is Mekudeshas. Tanu Rabbanan. So we'll say, now that we mentioned ultimately again chaveros, so the Gemara says as follows. Haba lekabel divrei chaveros. Chutz midavar echad. Listen to this. Person says, I want to be a chaver, right? I'm interested in signing up for it to be a chaver, but I don't want to do that thing. Right? So there's a list of 10 things. I'm willing to commit to 9 out of the 10. The 10th is just not for me. What's the halacha in makabel? So we'll say first wide line, lamin of a base. We don't accept such a person like that. In other words, you can't, I mean, the status of chaverus is all or nothing. Similarly, ovei kochavim shebala kabel divrei Torah chutz midavar echad, ein makablin oso. If someone shows up to convert, and they say, you know what, I love Torah, I love the Jewish people, I'm willing to take 6/12, sign me up. But that 6/13, sorry, that one I cannot commit to. We do not accept such a person as a convert. I will say, this is why, you know, still there's a lot of controversy surrounding geirus today. And a lot of it centers on this idea, which is ultimately, again, how much does a ger have to accept in order for the gerus to be absolutely kosher? So again, you see from the Gemara over here that, interestingly enough, in order for the ger to become a ger, he has to accept everything. Now again, he doesn't have to know everything, but it's not much like a shtickel nasa v'nishma, that he has to say, there's some stuff I know, there's probably a lot of stuff I don't know, and even the stuff I don't know, I still accept. So the Gemara goes right there. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Huda, Omer Afilu, Diktok Echam and Divrei Sofer. Rabbi Yossi says that even if the Ovid Kochavim says, I'm willing to accept everything except those Drabbanans. Right? I'm a biblical Jew. I want to be a biblical Jew. Right? I don't need all the rabbi stuff. See, even if he rejects one Din Drabbanan, ultimately, again, we cannot convert him under those circumstances. V'chin ben Levi. Sheba the Kabbal Divrei Levi. So people say, if a Levi shows up, and Levi says, reporting for service, Rashi points out, he wants to sing, he wants to open and close the doors of the Beis HaMikdash, he wants to fulfill his Levitic role. And similarly again, the Kohen Sheba the Kabbal Divrei Kuhuna, and a Kohen who shows up to report for Kohanic service, but they say, Chutz mi davar echad, I'm ready to be a Levi, I'm ready to be a Kohen, but I don't want to do this one thing. Oh, I don't accept this one thing. Ein mekablan also. Ultimately, again, we do not allow such a Levi to do the avoda. We do not allow such a Kohen to do the avoda. Shene emar hamakriv es dam hashlamim. Ha'avoda hamasur lebnei Aaron kol Kohen she'in modeba ein lo chelik b'kahuna. Ultimately, again, the avoda was given over to the Kohanim, and any Kohen, or in this context, Kohen means Kohen and Levi, who does not fully accept every aspect of the avoda, does not have a chilek in the kohuna. Good. Ten rabbanon. How about the kabbal divrei chaveros? So I will say, ultimately, again, if somebody wants to come and become a chaver, he wants to assume the status of a chaver. Imra inu shenoy b'tzina b'sam b'esam mekabbalon also. If we see, meaning if we know that in his home life, he conducts himself ultimately appropriately, then what? Mekabbalon also. We accept him as a chaver. V'achar kach melamdin also. And then ultimately, again, we teach him the laws of chaver. So in other words, interestingly enough, if we see that he conducts himself in his home life in a pious way, so we're willing to accept him, already give him the status, like your chaver pre-approved, right? We'll go ahead and we'll give you the status of chaver, and then teach you the details of chaverus afterwards. Ve'im lav, but if we don't see him conducting in his home life in a pious way, melam din also, then we teach him divrei chaverus first, then only afterwards are we mekabel him, are we mekabel him as a chaber. Rishon Yochai Omer, ben kach mekabel also, v'hu lamad kedar kavoich. Rishon Yochai says, if an Amoret shows up and says, I want to be a chaber, we accept him into the chaber program, we give him the status ultimately of a chaber, and we teach him going forward. Incredible. Tan Rabbanon. So mekablin lichnafayim, v'achar kach mekablin l'taros. So let's listen to this. Still continuing on the chaver idea. Person wants to become a chaver. So the Gemara says over here, look at Rashi, mekablin also, shenachzikenu kichaver k'neman l'chol dvarav. So we'll say, so now the Brisa says as follows. There is a process and a progression to becoming a chaver. The first step is, mekablin also l'chnafayim. Knafayim literally means what? Literally means wings. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. So mekablin also shenachzikenu kichaver k'neman l'chol dvarav. We'll accept him as a chaver ultimately and give him an emon. It's the knafayim. Rashi says sheyitol yadav kodim achila the kodim sheyiga ba'ochlin d'truma d'yadayim shniosin. We'll say the first step in becoming a chaver is someone who is careful with hand washing, right? Someone who is careful ultimately with netilas yadayim prior to eating, not just bread, but prior to eating, as well as of course prior to touching truma. So that's the first step, ultimately, again, of chaverus, being careful with netilas yadayim. Mekablos, right? Kibel, I'm sorry. Mekablin lechafayim va'achar mekablin taros. What's the next step after that? Is taros, right? Taros means that he goes ahead and he treats his chulin like taros, like truma. Even he maintains his chulin in a state of ritual purity. Vim amar eni mekaba al lechnafayim. And if he says that at the end of the day, I only want to become a chaver for netilas yadayim purposes, mekablin also, we accept him for that. However, mekablin also, kibal lataros v'lo kibal aknafayim, but if he says I only want to become a chaver for chulin b'tara, but not for netilas yadayim, Af l'taras lo kibel. We don't accept him as a chaver even for taras. We don't accept him as a chaver for anything. So we'll say, this is actually quite amazing. What it's saying over here is that halacha, and this is another incredible hashgafic piece, that if you want to become a chaver, or you want to become spiritually proficient in life, you have to go through the process. You have to go through the process. Jose, that ultimately, again, to become someone who is truly a chaver, which again, in halachic sense, in hashkafic sense, you can't jump to the top of the ladder. You have to start at the bottom rung, and you have to go ahead and make your way up. So if you decide, I want to become a chaver, and I want to start at the top rung, you say, okay, this is not for you. No one starts at the top rung. Start at the bottom, make your way up. Tan Rabbanon. And kama mekablin also. So we'll say, now the Gemara says as follows. Ultimately, again, how long must a person be proficient in these behaviors in order to be considered a chaver? So, beishamai omrim lemashkin shloshim yom luchsus shneimasar chodesh. So, ultimately, again, lemashkin. So, see if we see him conduct himself, ultimately, again, as a chaver for 30 days, we assume that his mashkin, his liquids, right, his drink, right, the liquids that he has, that he owns, are all tar. That's the status of chaverus. After we see him conduct himself as a chaver for 30 days, his mashkin have a status of ritual purity. Clothing, because we must say clothing, remember again we say the clothing of an ama aretz ultimately again convey a certain level of tumah, right? So his clothing is tar after 12 months. So if you conduct yourself as a chaver for 12 months, ultimately again your clothing has a presumed state of tara. After 30 days, your mashkin have a presumed state of tara. Beis Hillel says, and Beis Hillel says, no, for both your mashkin as well as your clothing, 12 months. If that's the case, well, if that's the case, isn't this an example of something that is a kula of Beis Shammai and a chumra of Beis Hillel? Because Beis Hillel is saying 12 months for everything, Beis Shammai is saying 30 days for mashkin, 12 months for clothing, to which the Gemara says, you're right, Ella, Beis Hillel omrim echad zeh ve'echad zeh l'shloshim. So amend that a bit, and what Beis Hillel meant to say, what the Gemara meant to say was, according to Beis Hillel, it's 30 days for both. 30 days for both your mashkin, as well as for your clothing. Incredible. Tan Rabbanon, habolik kabal divrei chaverus, tzorach lekal b'fnei shlosha chaverim. So we'll say, if somebody comes to accept upon himself divrei chaverus, he wants to be a chaver, he has to accept this in the presence of three chaverim. That doesn't mean three buddies, right? It means, let me get my buddies together, I'll become a chaver. It means three established chaverim almost have to become the Beis Din in which I accept chaverus upon myself. Ubanov, ubnei Beis, so inon srichan lekabu b'fnei shlosh chaverim. But also, interestingly enough, when you become a chaver, your family comes with, right? This is interesting. But your family does not have to accept this new standard of chaverus on their own. Rather, they are included in your acceptance. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Af panav ubnei beis lo tzrichan lekal b'fnei shlosh chaverim. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel disagrees. He says, no, the family members have to go ahead and accept the chaverus on their own. Why? Lefi she'en lo dome chaver shekibel leben chaver shekibel. Both say, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel comes along and says, if we want the family members to take it seriously, then what? They have to do their own Kabbalah. Because if they're just getting dragged along on this because the head of household decided to become a chaver, we're nervous that they're not going to be supportive of this decision. Therefore, they have to do the Kabbalah on their own. Tan Rabbanon, Habolah Kabbalah Devei Chaveru Seren Chabim Negimu Chaverim. If somebody wants to become a Chaver, he has to accept this in front of three Chaverim. Vapilu Tamut Chacham, Sarech Lekab Bifnei Shlosha Chaverim. Even a Tamut Chacham, Rabbo say, even a Tamut Chacham, because remember again, Tamut Chacham wasn't always a Chaver. Chaver represents, again, certain additional stringent standards of behavior. Even a Tamut Chacham has to accept this status in the presence of three chaverim. Zakein v'yoshev b'yeshiva. So we'll say, who's the Zakein v'yoshev b'yeshiva? This is a member of the Sanhedrin. So if someone is a member of the Sanhedrin, eino tzarech lekabel b'fnei shlosha chaverim. So we'll say, he does not have to go ahead and do this Kabbalah in the presence of three chaverim. Why? Shekvar kibel alav nisha'ashi yashav. Because essentially, by becoming a member of the Sanhedrin, ultimately, again, you were already accepted upon yourself a heightened standard of behavior. So, if such a person wants to become a chaver, He could just accept this himself. He doesn't have to do it in the presence of three chaverim. Abishal says, "Af tam tchacham eino tzarich lekab b'fnei shlosha chaverim." Abishal says, even a regular tam tchacham, if he wants to become a chaver, he could just accept this new status upon himself, and he need not do it in the presence of three chaverim. Below old, not only that, ela shachirim mekablo b'fana. Others have the ability to become a chaver in his presence. Am Rabbi Yochanan, bimei b'noshe Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus. Nishnas Mishnah Zoom. Ultimately, again, this Mishnah that a Talmud Chacham, the original Mishnah, we said that a Talmud Chacham has to be Mekabel Chaverus. If he wants to become a Chaver, he has to accept that status in the presence of three Chaverim. That Mishnah was stated in the days of Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus. I should say, excuse me, during the days of the son of Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus. Why? What happened? Rabbi Yehuda of Rabbi Yossi, Gemara tells a story. Rabbi Yehuda of Rabbi Yossi, Estapiklu Milsa B'Taras. Rabbi Yehuda of Rabbi Yossi were presented a Taras Shaila, right? A matter of Taras. And they were Mesupak. They weren't sure what the halacha was. Shadju Rabbanon, Legabe Binosh Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus. So they sent two rabbis to go ask the Shaila to the son of Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus. Azlu, Amrule Le'ayinba. So they came to him. Right? And they asked him, can you please look into this shayla? This is the son of Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus. Can you look into the shayla? So Ashkechu de Katan Taras, so they saw that the son of Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus was carrying Taras. Osiv Rabbanon Mididei Legabaihu. Vekoi Ihu Li'iyuniba. So we'll say, what did he do? Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus would not leave his Taras unattended by these two rabbis. Right? He got two of his own students who he trusted to go ahead and watch the Taras, that they should not become defiled in any way. So we'll say, so what happens? So then he looks into the Shaila, he paskins. The two rabbis come back to Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yossi. So listen to this, so we'll say, so the two rabbis were very offended. Because the fact that the son, Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus, appointed his own students to watch his Taras, means what? He didn't trust the two guys who showed up. He didn't trust the two rabbis who showed up. So the two rabbanim come back to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. They tell over the story, and they were very offended. They were very offended. So we'll say, Amru Rabbi Yehuda, Aviv Shalzeh Biza Tamidi Chachamim, Af Hu Mevaza Tamidi Chachamim. So Rabbi Yehuda has sharp words. He says, I'm not surprised. This one's father, meaning Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus, was Mevaza, disparaged Tamidi Chachamim, and clearly the son does the same thing. Now we'll say, and Rashi points out over here, and Rashi says, that never happened, meaning Rabbi Yehuda just got upset, so he said this. But at the end of the day, we have no record of Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus or his son being Mevazat Tamidi Chachamim. Amar Rabbi Yossi says, calm down. Kavod Zakin Yemunach Bimkomo. Don't disparage the son, and don't disparage Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus. Let their kavod remain intact. Rather, what happened? Ela miyom shecharav beis hamikdash nagu kohanim silsul ba'atzman shein mosrin es ataras lechol adam. Rather again, from the day that the beis hamikdash was destroyed, the kohanim circled the wagons. The kohanim agreed to a certain heightened level of kedusha when it comes to taras in order to preserve some level of tara within the base within Klal Yisrael. Nagu kohanim silsul ba'atzman. The kohanim went ahead and accepted upon themselves additional chumras, additional precautions, she'ein mosin es ataras l'chol adam, that they do not trust their taras just with any people. So what you're seeing is chas v'shalom not a disparaging of the rabbis, but rather again an additional chumra that the kohanim took upon themselves to preserve taras from the time that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. We'll stop over here. I want to share with you a short idea on the parsha.